I know. Again, thank you so much. Wow. Whew. That's it. That was the talk. Now we go to coffee. So good morning again, and I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so grateful that all of you are here as well for this talk, Radiant Faith. And the talk title today comes from a song that Ricky Byers Beckwith does. And I want to pause for a moment and just say I noticed that I'm talking so much about songs these days and sharing words from songs. So I had a moment of saying, and why are you doing that? And it's because our musicians and our songwriters, especially in the New Thought movement, are artists who are really capturing our life now and helping us have windows into the process of our awakening. And plus, it's so much better to drive around in your car listening to wonderful, uplifting music like what we just heard, as opposed to all the news, yes? And so I find myself yes, amen. Let's hear it for the artists and for the musicians. And so I find myself just wanting to share words of songs with you, and it seems like everywhere I go. And I realized over the span of my ministerial career, I have shared quotations, and I have shared poems, and I have shared stories, and now I'm sharing songs, and that's just how it is. So Ricky Byers' line in her song is, "A radiant faith is my friend today." In fact, let's say that together. A radiant faith is my friend today. And the truth is, radiant faith is our friend any day that we have it. Because faith is the thing that assists us in moving through difficult and challenging times and keeping ourselves together. And it also is creative of the good that we wish to have in our life experience. And we are in a time of great concern. Have you noticed that? Not only is the economy doing strange and interesting things, but now we have this little illness going around. I went to see my doctor the other day, just as a matter of course, not particularly about the illness that's going on. He called it the piglet flu, by the way, because he said, really, it's sort of being amped up beyond necessary, and it's kind of a usual thing, and it's really pretty mild, so he was calling it the piglet flu or the fluette. So I invite you to take that on if you like. But that is not to minimize the concern that people have over what is taking place in the world right now, and we are going through a time, you know, I spoke 2 weeks ago about big cycles of change. We're between the spirals, and it looks as if old forms and structures are falling away, and their structures in society, and their structures within the self. And things are falling away, and I'm, for one, say it's a really good thing. It's a really good thing, and I say that because I have faith. And I think that we're changing, and we're being guided to know more of the truth of our wholeness, and so we're undergoing transformations so that we can be more whole and stand together in creative collaborations more than we ever have before. And I say that's a really good thing because I have faith. And what do I have faith in? I have faith that God is all, that there is one power, one presence, one life that is the all and the everything that is very good, that is life itself, that has given birth to everything that is in existence and holds it all in a vast embrace of intelligence and love. And only what I see through my life is divine order in action. And this is what I have faith in. And so I want to open up this topic of faith today, again, as something that helps us get through challenging times, but that also has a creative power in our life experience. And I do not think that faith is supposed to be an overly theological, intellectual, abstract, kind of gloomy thing. And I was listening to Leonard Cohen the other day. How many of you know who Leonard Cohen is? Oh, good. I have. And the rest of you don't? Okay, that's all right. Leonard Cohen is an old guy now, but he's been a singer and songwriter for many, many years. Important in my life, kind of the backdrop for my life when I was a very young thing. And I missed his concert in town because I didn't find out about it in enough time to get tickets, but I've been listening to his CD, and he said something very interesting, and he is an old guy now. And first of all, he was talking to the I almost said the congregation. He was talking to the audience, and first of all, he laid out this long string of drugs, anti-depression drugs that he's taken over his long span of lifetime, and people started laughing because it was really a long list. And then he said, and then I studied the world's great religions, but cheerfulness kept breaking through. I thought that was a great line. Funny. And also, you know what he means, because in many cases, religion has not been cheerful. It has been heavy and abstract and not fun at all. And I want to say that that's not our kind of spirituality. That our spirituality and our faith is meant to be vibrant and alive and really good news. The kind of thing you want to say yay about. Can I hear a yay? Yay. And if not a yay, then at least calm peacefulness about it. Our faith and our spirituality and new thought is meant to be alive and vibrant and lived every day in a very, very practical way. So I want to share some faith basics that have been meaningful to me. And let me just say that I think faith can be defined as certainty, conviction, and assurance. And again, it's the certainty, conviction, assurance that God is one and God is all, having birthed all that is in existence and holding it all in a vast embrace of love that is good, that is intelligent. And that we're created by all of that, and we're created as all of that, and right within our individual being is all that God is in unique and individualized form. And the power that created the universe is the very same power that we discover and use in our own life in the sphere of our own individual universe. And that creation happens from thought to thing, whether we're talking about how the divine creates the universe or how we create in our own life. It's the same thing. And I think that our faith invites us to have conviction and certainty about that, but also to make it real by our practice. When the going gets tough, the tough practice, and what they practice is their faith. And faith has a lot to do with where we place our attention. And we know from metaphysics that whatever you give your attention to increases. And so I would invite you to consider where your attention is these days. Because where your attention is expresses what you have most faith in. And I'll let you take a breath on that one. And you know, when times are challenging, we have a choice. Will we give our attention to fear, or will we give our attention to faith? And the interesting thing about fear and faith is that they are exactly the same power, but moving in opposite directions. Faith is the conviction, the certainty, the assurance that you will experience what it is that you desire. And fear is the surety, the conviction, or the conviction, certainty, and assurance that you will experience what you don't desire. Same power, moving in opposite directions. They are equally creative in our lives because they both set mental equivalents in our lives. They set mental concepts that tend to outpicture. And so our choice in challenging times is what will get the lion's share of our attention. What will it be? Will it be fear, and then we will live the results of fear? Will it be faith, and then we will live the results of faith? Now, I want you to know that I'm a fan of fear sometimes, in the sense that I have learned, it used to be Lord and Master over me, and I'm glad to say that's not so anymore, but fear is often a very good ally in that it wakes us up. It wakes us up to potential loss. It wakes us up to potential disaster. And in the awakening, we can make some new choices. We can avoid, to the best of our ability, what's about to happen. So it's a very good thing. But it is not meant to run the show. It is not big enough and good enough to run the show. Mainly, fear is a wake-up call about our need to practice faith. So if you're in fear right now, translate it into a call that it's time for more faith. To have faith, we have to exercise it like a muscle. Just like it takes exercise to have a strong muscle in your body, it takes the exercise of faith to absolutely have faith. And some of the most powerful moments of faith are in completely faithless times, when there is nothing on the outer side of your life that supports you in having faith. That is the most powerful moment to take a step of faith. It is the most powerful because it is the most invisible. It's completely unreasonable. Isn't that fabulous? And it becomes a powerful creative force. We are to stand in hell and proclaim heaven. Don't you love that? Now, is that denial? Some people say, new thought is all about denial. Not at all. You know when you're standing in hell, right? You know what that's like. So do I. But it's a call to the practice of heaven. And that's how we can see it. It's the call to the practice of heaven. I think one of the problems that we get into with faith is that we've tried to put our faith in changing things, expecting them to be the changeless. People, corporations, relationships, whatever it might be. We've tried to have things that by their nature must change because they're part of the transitory aspects of life, or as the Zen say, the rise and fall of the 10,000 things, they are part of that, and yet we expect them to stay fixed. They cannot do that. We want to put our faith in the changeless, and the only changeless thing is the reality of God and the truth of your own wholeness and the creative power of thought. Those are really the only things. And when we take big, huge faith steps, we are turning away from appearances. We're not denying that they're there. And we're saying, I'm going to go for something else here. I'm going to go for something else than what confronts my senses. So we try to put our faith in the things that inevitably change, expecting them to be changeless. They can't be. They cannot be. And the other thing that we do that is a problem around faith is that we wait for things to be certain before we take the faith step. If it was certain, it wouldn't be faith. We try to see what's up ahead, and we say, okay, I got it now, I'll go for that. That just is not how it works. That is just not how it works. I have a colleague by the name of Margaret Shepherd, and she says, sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith. Sometimes the only way to get from here to there is a leap of faith, because there's nothing in the outer world that is really supporting you. But faith becomes a powerful transforming energy in our lives when we cannot see what's up ahead and we take the step of faith anyway, because we're following the call in our heart and taking the next indicated step. And faith is such an interesting thing. It lays the path right under your foot. It lays it down just in the moment that you take the step. You will find the next step on the pathway right there. And life comes step by step these days. There's value in visioning, there's value in setting goals and in setting intentions, absolutely. But life happens step by step every day. Those powerful faith moments are when we feel our heart calling us forward. We take the step, moving beyond the fear that's up for us. By the way, you don't have to handle all of your fear in one moment. It's just the fear that's up in the step that you're about to take. That's all you have to deal with. So you deal with your fear, you take the step, and you know that life is good, and you're trusting the all. And you know that in the willingness to take the step forward, you're actually laying the path right under your feet. So what challenges faith for us? I think we get challenged about faith because we've had really difficult things happen in our lives. Or am I the only one? And because we've had difficult things happen, we've experienced a loss of one kind or another, we might think, I don't want to have faith. I don't want to step out there. I want to play it safe. I want to stay in this little box that I'm in. You know, change happens sometimes very precipitously in the blink of an eye. And we can let the difficulties of our lives kill off our faith. But I'll tell you, I had a really interesting revelation about that. I'm forever learning lessons about God and life in my garden, in my front yard. And I have a tall angel who stands there as a blessing for people who leave. Not that I'm trying to get them to leave, but it's just the way it works. And she's tall, and she's actually a very embodied angel. She looks like a human woman in angel form, and she has her hands crossed over her heart and her head kind of slightly bowed. And her wings are rather together in the back. And I noticed, I've been noticing for a couple of weeks that between her wings there were these leaves and cobwebby kinds of things, and I had been forgetting to clean it out because I want my angel to be all shiny and clean, you know. And the other day, I finally took the broom and swept out the leaves, and I noticed suddenly when I looked down that there was a spider that was now crawling through the dirt right near there. And I realized I had just become the agent of change for that for that spider. And I felt really badly about that. I mean, I ended her world as she knew it. I really did, because she fell out and her little egg sac fell out, and I felt really badly about that. But what I noticed is that she was intact, and so were they. And in fact, the last time I looked, she was marching toward me. I'm going to get that woman. But she was probably going right back to where she had been between the wings of the angel. And what I realized was she was still in the garden, that there was an end to the world as she had known it, but she was still in the garden. And everything that had been provided for her was still there. And she didn't look harmed. I couldn't really tell if she was upset. I was projecting a touch. I would have been. But it brought a little aha to me. And I realized that I've had some pretty good whacks in my life. Have you? A couple of good whacks, you know, of dislocation and change and endings and the need to heal and readjust and reinvent and reconstruct and all of those kinds of things. But the realization for me is that I was always still in the garden. I was always still in the garden of God's love and supply. And that was a powerful little lesson for me. Not to minimize what any of us go through, but as long as we're still alive, we're still in the garden. And all that God is still there to provide, to support. But the question is, will we have faith in that? And will we actualize it by our faith? Because our faith actualizes the good in our life. Sometimes, you know, and I think the other thing that challenges our faith is that we experience delay, that we just don't get what we want when we want it. You know, there's a little bit of Her Majesty the baby in everybody, and we just don't get what we want when we want it, and so sometimes we lose our faith because of that. So I dipped into Emily Cady, who's a great teacher of New Thought and is in the Unity lineage and tradition, and I shared a little bit about her ideas in the meditation. But she says, there is no good thing that you can desire in your life that at its center is not God. God is the substance of all things, the real thing within every visible form of good. God, the invisible substance out of which visible things are formed, is all around us waiting to come forth into manifestation. This good substance all about us is unlimited and is itself the supply of every demand that can be made. So the good substance is the supply of every demand that can be made. The supply of every good awaits the demand. The demand must be made before the supply can come forth, and recognizing these truths are the secret of understanding faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. But what's interesting is that we have to supply the assurance and have faith. We have to supply the conviction and have faith. And as we do that, the assurance we provide and the conviction we provide allows faith to take hold of the substance of the thing hoped for and brings it into visibility. And so I want to share with you these other things that she wrote. Asking springs from, so it's about the teaching, ask and ye shall receive. Asking springs from desire to possess some good, and what is desire? Desire in the heart is always God tapping at the door of your consciousness with his infinite supply, a supply that is forever useless unless there be demand for it. I love that. So when you have a desire in your heart, it's actually God tapping in. The only way God has of letting us know of his infinite supply and his desire to make it ours is for him to push gently on the divine spark living within each one of us. He, by the way, you know, let go of the masculine wording here. That was the tradition then. He wants you to be a strong, self-sufficient man or woman, to have more power and dominion over all before you. So he quietly and silently pushes a little more of himself, his desire, into the center of your being. He enlarges, so to speak, your real self, and at once you become conscious of new desire to be bigger, grander, stronger. If he had not pushed at the center of your being first, you would never have thought of new desires, but would have remained perfectly content as you were. Remember this, desire in the heart for anything is God's sure promise sent beforehand to indicate that it is already yours in the limitless realm of supply. And whatever you want, you can have for the asking. And the practice of faith is that, as she says, you take hold of God with an unwavering faith, begin and continue to rejoice and give thanks that you have, not will have, the desires of your heart, never losing sight of the fact that the desire is the thing itself in incipiency. If the good were not already yours in the invisible realm of supply, you could not, by any possibility, desire it. Beautiful, huh? So the desire in your heart is God pressing in to enlarge you, to call you, to be more, to allow more, to live more. And that it couldn't be there in your heart without the ability to realize it. So what do we do with periods of waiting? What we do with periods of waiting is that we do the work of faith. And we do the work of faith, and we let ourselves be transformed into the person that can have the good that we say that we want. Does that make sense to you? That often we want a greater good, but we're not really the person who could handle that yet. We're not really the space yet for that greater good to happen. You may want fabulous wealth, but are you a person who knows how to productively use money and not lose it? You may want loving relationship. Are you the space that loving relationship can happen in? A friend of mine said that she met the man who is now her husband when she finally became the kind of person that she wanted to be in relationship with. She actually became the sort of person she wanted to. She became what turned out to be him. I think that's really fascinating. Would you want to be in relationship with you? I ask myself that question sometimes. I said, some days. Some days I actually enjoy being in relationship with myself. So, so it's to use these periods of waiting in a faith-filled way to build our faith. That what is in your heart, the desire of your heart, I see skepticism forming in the room, that's okay. So that the desire, that you know the desire of your heart, is spirit itself pressing in. And there could not be the desire without the supply. So get about the transformation and become the space in which the good you desire can happen. So I want to end on a really high note with you. And first of all, just say that I'm really grateful to have been here for the last 3 weeks, and I appreciate the presence of those of you who have been here, all or any amount of that time. And I know that you're looking forward to having Reverend Wendy back with you, and I understand that, and she will be sharing with you wonderful stories, I'm sure, of her travels. But I want to end by saying that I am really encouraged about the world right now. And that doesn't mean that I don't see the things that are difficult and challenging, and sometimes it looks like the darkness of the world expands or compels itself to become bigger. And yet, you know what? It's just not the truth for me. As I look out on the world, I see more and more people like you and like me who are actively seeking to practice helpful, hopeful, joyful principles of living that speak about the reality of God and the sacredness and oneness of all life and the wholeness of individual being and the creative power of thought. And I'm really, really encouraged by that. I do believe that there are more and more of us all of the time, people waking up in their own faith traditions and yet waking up in alignment with these ancient truths of the oneness of all of life. Things are falling apart, but that's oh so really good. Because there's the falling apart, and then there's the falling together. and more people are awakening, and it's good, and it's happening little by little. And so I want to complete by sharing this little song with you. I'm not going to sing it. By friends called Ruby, who based their songs on Rumi. Little by little, the rosy-cheeked are coming down from the rose gardens and the orchards of love. Little by little, the heart-healing ones are on the way. The exhausted ones from the meadows of love, strong and in the best of health, are returning. Loads of gold and the gold mines themselves are being bestowed on the poorest of the poor. The souls of the pure of heart are streaming down like beams from an invisible sun. Little by little, the rosy-cheeked are coming down from the rose gardens and the orchards of love. Little by little, the heart-healing ones are on the way. Little by little, the non-beings are being gone, and little by little, the true beings are coming. And joyous is the garden of winter to where the fresh fruits of summer are brought. And little by little, friends receive their share of the ripened fruit of remembering, little by little. So I invite you to close your eyes. Just take a moment. Oh, rosy-cheeked, heart-healing, true being one. This is the truth of your divine beingness. Breathe it now into your heart center. Feel that the deepest desires of your heart are exactly spirit calling upon you to expand, to lift, to awaken, and to awaken others, so that our life on this earth is transformed into something more beautiful and more completely expressed of the divine. It is heaven on earth that we are after. And I simply give thanks, knowing and accepting that this is taking place within each one of us now, in the naturalness of time, and that little by little, heaven on earth arrives. I give thanks for this. I release this word, knowing it is done. And so it is, and together we say, amen. Thank you so very much. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you.